magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, May 30th, 2017. I trust you had a blessed Memorial Day. As maybe more than usual, we were reminded of the freedoms that we so easily enjoy because of those that have fought wars and defended our liberties and allow us to live in this country with so many opportunities. So we are mindful of our veterans. We salute them and thank them year-round, not just on Memorial Day. I wasn't able to make it to the service where Jason preached yesterday, and we talked about it on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And so you're going to hear his message from exactly a year ago. And so we'll just jump right into my remarks from last year, and you'll hear me making some timely comments about Jason's situation. Well, on today's edition of Mark and Friends, I have a special message from a very familiar voice. My Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, shared a devotional thought yesterday at the Champaign Sportsman's Club as he desired to honor those that have served and sacrificed for our freedoms. He gave a Memorial Day message, and it was out in the blazing sun. What a gorgeous day it was. You can even hear the sounds of the birds as he presented to many campers, locals, and a variety of veterans that have served in our armed forces. Pastor Jason will draw from Joshua chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Thessalonians 4, Revelation 22, and other scriptures to honor God and to honor our veterans. Now, I should point out, earlier that morning at about 4:30, Jason had had a fall, twisting his ankle, at least that's what he knew at the time, and showed up to the Champaign Sportsman's Club on crutches. After he spoke, he went to the hospital, had a doctor look at it. I can't remember if they put him in a cast or a boot, sharing that he had broken a bone or something. Regardless, he leaned into the Lord and delivered what I think was a great message for us to carry with us all week, all month, all year long as we want to honor those that have served us, providing the great freedoms we enjoy. Here's Pastor Jason Schiffo.
Good morning, everybody. May have fallen off the back porch, but nothing could have kept me from being here this morning. And I just want to echo Daryl's message that we need to remember. It's vitally and utterly important that we remember. I remember a story that said that there was an 80-year-old couple who were having trouble remembering things. Maybe some of us can understand that. So they went to their doctor to get checked out, and when they arrived at the doctor's office, they explained the problem that they were having with their memory. And the doctor checked them out, and he began to do a physical, and he said, "Well, everything seems to be okay. What you might want to do is start writing things down to help your memory, to remind you." And so they got home that night, and they were doing as they always did, sitting in front of the TV, watching TV, and the husband got up to go to the kitchen, and his wife said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to go to the kitchen." And she said, "Will you get me a bowl of ice cream?" He said, "Sure." She said, "Do you want to write that down so you'll remember it?" He goes, "You want a bowl of ice cream? I remember." She said, "Can you put some strawberries on the top?" He said, "Yes." She said, "Do you want to write that down so you'll remember?" He said, "No, I remember. A bowl of ice cream with strawberries on the top." She said, "How about a little whipped cream, and you're going to need to write that down?" He said, "I've got it. A bowl of ice cream with strawberries and whipped cream on top." So the husband walked away, and he went into the kitchen. And about 20 minutes later, he returned with a plate of bacon and eggs. And the wife stared at the plate for a moment, and she said, "I knew you were going to mess this up. Where's the toast?" Friends, do you ever have trouble remembering? Do you ever forget where you put your keys, where you put your wallet? Now that we carry our telephones in our pockets, do you ever forget where you put your telephone? Maybe even where did you put your mind? Do you ever remember where your mind is at? If you're not sure, then the answer is probably yes. You know, today is Memorial Day. And as Daryl said, it's great that we set aside a day to remember. But I think we need to remember beyond one day. But the word memorial actually means to remember. If we were to rightly define today, it is Remembrance Day. Therefore, Memorial Day is a day that's set aside not to make sure you have the hot dog buns, not to make sure you have enough charcoal, not to make sure that you've gotten a watermelon, Not to make sure that you've invited enough friends over for that barbecue this afternoon, but it's a day set aside to remember something greater than even that. I want in my short time here today to remind us of the importance of remembering. Woody Allen once said, "The reason history seems to repeat itself is that nobody was listening the first time around." And as we gather here this morning, I have to be honest. I think as a nation, we have forgotten a few things. Listen, we enjoy great freedoms here. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and all that that flag embodies. But we have forgotten, my friends, that freedom is not free. Freedom has a price, and that price has been paid over and over again by the lives of brave young men and women.
Amen.
You see, friends, people who say that freedom is free have forgotten the cost of freedom. Winston Churchill once said, "A nation that forgets its heroes will soon be forgotten." And we're here today because I believe that it's essential for us as a nation to remember those who gave their lives on account of freedom. I also believe that we are a nation that is quickly forgetting God. And in doing so, failing to remember the great price that God paid by Himself, through Himself, on the cross of Calvary to purchase our freedom. Ronald Reagan said, "If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will certainly be one nation gone under." And the Bible, because I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't go to the Bible, right? The Bible says this in Psalm 9 and verse 17, "The wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God." And if those of you who might be fuzzy about what that verse means, it means this. It literally tells us that a nation that forgets God will go to hell. And if that's blunt, it's because it's the truth of what the Bible says. Therefore, remembering is about not forgetting. It's about lifting our sights above our selfish selves in order to focus our attention upon the aspirations and accomplishments of those who have preceded us and upon God Himself. A powerful motivation, I think, for remembering our present is being intentional about remembering what's happened in the past. In the Bible, in Joshua chapter 4, we have a great picture of what it means to remember. It says in Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, "When all the nations had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Take 12 men from the people, from each of the tribe a man, and command them, saying, Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly. Bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua, being obedient, called 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed a man from each tribe." He's listening to God. "And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Take upon each of you a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign," listen, "that this may be a sign amongst you. When your children ask, in the time to come, what do these stones mean? So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." I believe that today is a time to remember what has been done. You know what strikes me about what I just read to you from Joshua chapter 4? Is that we're called to have a memorial that will cause our children to ask, "What do these stones mean?" Our flag serves as a memorial where our sons and daughters say, "What does that flag mean?" Friends, I brought my children here for the last 5 years. When I learned that this was happening the first year we were in Muhammad, I've sat in the chairs out here or when it rained in there with my children, starting when my son was 5 years old and now he's 10. And I brought them here every year as I figured they could sit and be quiet and kind of pay attention and understand. And afterwards, I've intentionally always brought my son up and had him shake the hands of each one of these veterans. And I've done so because I want him to know what these stones mean. I want them to understand and to remember. I want them to hear what these stones mean. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 5 and 8 says this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might," your muchness. "And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. And this is talking about your children. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You will tell them about God. You will tell them of His mighty works and what He has done. You'll remind them. You'll help them to remember. And listen to me, God knows how easy we can forget. And He understands the absolute necessity of us remembering. So He instructs Joshua in that passage to build a memorial. He knows that they'll forget, and He knows that they need to remember. So He knows they need something to help them to remember. So He had them build this memorial so that each time the Israelites would see those rocks, they would be reminded of two things. First, that in the process of getting across the Jordan, there were many men and women who lost their lives. To get them to where they were, there were many who served and sacrificed. The second thing those stones served was that they would understand that they didn't get there by their own strength. They got there by the strength of the Lord, by the might of the Lord. You know, we sing as we have America the Beautiful. And I'm always struck by the line in that hymn that says, America, America, God shed His grace on thee. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, he said, but by the grace of God. When Paul took the whole of his ministry and all that he was, his answer to all of it was, but by the grace of God. I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. When we sing, America, America, God shed His grace on thee, He has, but not in our strength, in His strength. So these stones that Joshua says are but by the grace of God, but they're also meant to be a catalyst to remember, to tell the story, to keep a clear memory of what God and His people have done. And this is not just once. You keep telling these stories so that you never lose your own sense of awe and wonder at what God has done in and through your lives and around you. Not only is today a day that we celebrate the sacrifice and services of so many, but today needs to be a day where we tell our children of the great men and women here with us today who but by the grace of God got us here. Douglas MacArthur wrote this prayer that I copied off about 5 years ago, and I have it in the journal that I use every day. Transfer it from journal to journal as I fill up a journal and move to the next one. And I love MacArthur's prayer. He prayed this for his son, and it says this, build me a son, O Lord, who will be strong enough to know when he is weak and brave enough to face himself when he is afraid. One who will be proud and unbending in honest defeat and humble and gentle in victory. Lord, build me a son whose wishes will not take the place of deeds. A son who will know Jesus Christ, who is the foundation stone of knowledge. Lead him, I pray, not in the path of ease and comfort, but under the stress and spur of difficulties and challenge. Here, let him learn to stand up to the storm. Here, let him learn compassion for those who fail. Lord, build me a son whose heart will be clear, whose goals will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men, who will give reach into the future and never forget the past. Give him humility so that when he may, always remember simplicity and true gentleness. Give him an open mind of true wisdom and a meekness of true strength. Then I, MacArthur says, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain. Joshua goes on to say in that chapter of Joshua, the fourth chapter, and all the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded. They took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. Just as today needs to be a place and a time where we remember what has been done, today needs to be a place and a time where we will make a personal commitment to remembering. Because it begins with you, those of us who say, if we can just get the right man in the White House has the wrong thinking. The right thinking is if I can just get God to give me a heart that will stand firm for what is right today. And then you standing right with your neighbor standing and that neighbor standing, that's what creates true strength, my friends. It's not one man. It's when many men stand with God together that there's true strength. And so we need to have a personal renewing, a personal commitment. Now Joshua not only issued the order for the men to come into the river, but listen, when you read that passage, Joshua personally joined them in the river. He wasn't the kind of leader that stands in the back and says, "Run, men, run." He was the kind of leader that said, "I will join you too," in the process of remembering. Joshua made a personal declaration and he himself set up a personal memorial as an act of remembrance. I wonder, my friends, which one of you will do the same today? Which one of you who will proudly go out and hoist up that flag? Who will proudly tell one of your neighbors why that flag is hoisted high at your home? And maybe if you've served, you'll tell the story of what God has done, but by the grace of God. And finally, in the last and ending verses of Joshua chapter 4, it says, "In those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean?'" Listen, twice in this passage, God says we need to tell our kids. If God says something once, listen. If he says something twice, commit it to memory. If he says it three times, duck. "Then you shall let your children know, 'Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Listen, we need to not just set our sights on today. We need to set our sights on God. That's what we need to do. This event happened, that I just read, on the 10th day of the first month, which was exactly 40 years since Israel was led out of Egypt and they parted and crossed the Red Sea. Therefore, the monument that was built with those 12 stones was to serve as a silent memorial forever to a day on which the people of God boldly placed their feet in the surging current of the Jordan, confident that God would see them to safety on the other side, confident that God would lead them. And on today, this day, this Memorial Day, where we boldly acknowledge brave men and women who boldly place their feet in the path of evil, in places of oppression and injustice, who served and sacrificed for the sake of freedom, we need to acknowledge that it was God's grace that guided it all. If we forget the great cost and value of our heritage, if we forget all that happened that attained freedom, we will certainly forget the source of our blessing, and we will certainly take our freedom for granted, and we will trade it away for slavery. And these men and women who are here today who raise their hand, if you served, raise your hand. And raise it up high, because I want you to be proud of your service. These men and women who raise their hands, these are our stones. Joshua and the Israelites had stones stacked up in the middle of the Jordan to remind them of what God has done. You, my friends, are our stones. You're our living stones stacked up to remind us that freedom isn't free. The stones to tell us their stories so that we might tell them to our children. I need you so that I can tell my kids the story. I need to hear your stories so that they will not forget, so they will know what the cost of freedom looks like. I want them to look you in the eye so they know what the cost of freedom looks like. You know, on March 11th in 1942, as the Japanese forces were invading the Philippines, Douglas MacArthur prepared to leave, and he uttered what would become probably his most famous statement. MacArthur in that moment stood and he said, "I shall return." When MacArthur made the promise to return, many people thought he was crazy. But he was determined to free the Philippines from Japanese occupation. And 2.5 years later, after tons, heaps of criticism and doubt, General Douglas MacArthur landed once again on Philippine soil with the words, "People of the Philippines, I have returned." And not only did MacArthur return, but he did so in the strength of every man and every woman who fought against every evil to free the Filipino people. See, we don't lionize the man MacArthur. But we memorialize and remember every man and woman who made that moment possible. MacArthur returned in the strength of you and people like you. But listen, my friends, I'd be remiss not to tell you this. Like MacArthur's, I will return, but in a much greater way. Jesus Christ says in Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I am coming soon. I will return, bringing my reward with me to repay each one for what he has done." 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise." Jesus Christ says, "I will return." And yet Jesus will not step onto the shores of some foreign land in the strength of others and declare that he has returned. But instead, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, will descend from the clouds in the strength of his own power and his own personhood to the sound of the trumpet of God himself. And in that moment, friends, we will not stand on the strength of what we have remembered. We, in that moment, will stand on the strength that God has remembered us. Freedom, purchased by each one of these men and women, freedom, purchased on the cross of Christ, is not free. And let us never become so short-sighted that we begin to believe that. The Bible tells us that salvation is the free gift of God, that no man or woman might not boast. But God also says dozens upon dozens of times in the Bible, "Do not forget the Lord your God." Do not forget. Friends, let us remember. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you have not forgotten us. And in the same way, Father, we stand today firm in the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, that we will not forget you. Father, a nation that rises up and declares its freedom does so by the freedom purchased through your grace. Oh, but by the grace of God. And Father, we thank you for that. That you come to us in a place like this. And that you shed your grace on thee. And you give us brotherhood. That we might stand arm in arm. That we might hear each other's stories. That freedom might have a face. And that we might not forget. Father, help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Freedom purchased for us by the grace of God. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.